Chili Peppers to start the hour. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Scar Tissi, followed by Nirvana from MTV Unplugged and their version of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World. Impromptu pop quiz, also covered by who, Sarah Lysett?
David Bowie.
No, it was his song.
It was his song. Nirvana sang it.
Yeah, and?
Lulu.
Well done. Yes. Goes to the top of the class. Stuart says, listening to the conversation about black and white and colour TV reminded me of my first chore as a child, changing the channels. Luckily, there weren't that many at the time. Yeah, I told you my dad had a big stick that used to...
Yes, you have said that.
...reach towards the television and change the channels that way. Lazy old beggar. Lynn and John Humphreys McCricket have hung an 8-metre by 5-metre Welsh jersey that covers the entire front of their Dinas Mordaddy home in Gwynedd in Wales. With the team's next Euro 2020 match looming, they're hoping it brings the side good luck. They're playing Turkey in Baku tomorrow. John is, he's Scottish actually, but she obviously wears the trousers in that house because it's covered in a Wales flag. They spent 2 days creating the shirt in honour of the national football team. She stitched the original in 2016 to celebrate Wales's Euro success and has made moderations in the style of the new kit for this year's campaign. She said, it started off as a bit of a joke, really, on our streets. There was a lack of fan zones in North Wales in our area, so we thought, we'll give you a fan zone. So we popped down to the shop in Machynlleth and said, how much red material have you got? I'll buy it all. It's pretty impressive.
I bet it is.
Covers the whole front of their house. Yeah, I said, well, they're playing Turkey tomorrow. I said Turkey might cause a few surprises at Euro 2020, and I was very surprised when they lost so convincingly to Italy in the opening games. So what do we think tomorrow, Turkey against Wales?
Well, I think Wales can do it.
Think Wales are going to win?
Yeah. I'll be rooting for them.
Got a point in the first game, didn't they? The other match in Group A tomorrow is Italy against Switzerland, and Switzerland played quite well in their opener, didn't they, against Wales. So... Oh, it's getting exciting. I didn't really have Euro 2020 fever,
but you're getting into it now.
Yeah, good. How'd you follow that? Well, obviously, with Tom Jones's most famous song.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
The Independent says that more than 40,000 people could die this summer as the Delta variant of coronavirus sweeps through the UK, even after Boris Johnson's decision to delay the lifting of lockdown restrictions by 4 weeks to the 19th of July. A paper submitted to the government's Scientific Advisory Group on Emergencies said that a summer wave of infections, hospitalisations and deaths is likely whether or not restrictions are lifted because of the highly virulent nature of the variant. But the potential peak death rate could be reduced from 700 to 500 a day by delaying step four of Mr Johnson's roadmap for the planned date of the 21st of June.
And in the connection, France, a cluster of the Delta Indian variant has been found in Strasbourg, eastern France. The cases were confirmed at an art school, prompting local health authorities to kick off an immediate action plan to contain the spread. There were 4 positive cases and 43 contacts are being investigated. The regional health agency confirmed that an immediate action plan had been put in place.
And the Glasgow Herald reports that Grant Hanley has backed Scotland to respond in the right manner as they attempt to salvage their Euro dreams against England at Wembley. Steve Clark's side make the trip to London on Friday with their place in the championships under threat after a lacklustre showing during their Group D defeat to the Czech Republic. Slightly unkind, I thought they played quite well in parts. With a home clash against Croatia to come on match day 3, Scotland could face the old enemy in desperate need of results to kickstart their first major finals campaign in 23 years.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
It's my turn now. Shouldn't have asked you a question earlier.
Well, you wouldn't know who did a cover version of Delilah, would you? Many, but you could name just one.
Somebody Welsh, obviously.
Well, there was the Platters and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Platters? Were they cover versions?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Platter's version came after the Tom Jones version?
Apparently so.
Ooh, I never knew that before.
Question number one.
So it wouldn't sound right anyone else but Tom Jones singing that
I didn't realise it was about the crime of passion.
Yes.
Delilah got... Yeah.
He sounded pretty passionate, didn't he? But he didn't actually do that himself. It was just...
No,
a,
of course.
It was a ballad.
Question number one for this morning's pop quiz. On this day in 1973, who released his most successful single and one of his most well-known songs, Let's Get It On?
Marvin Gaye.
Correct. Correct. Question number two. On this day in 1974, ABBA's second album entered the UK chart. The album's title track won the group the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest. What was the song?
Waterloo.
Yes.
And I remember watched that. That's what I remember. We had a Eurovision party round at my parents' house and the tea cosy on the head and everything like that. And I loved that song immediately. So I picked it out as the winner, I remember. I was 10.
Memories. Yeah. And finally, Australian musician Russell Hitchcock was born on this day in 1949. He was the singer of which band who scored which song in 1980 in the UK? Well, it reached number 11 in the UK album singles chart, sorry, in 1980.
Russell Hitchcock.
Russell Hitchcock, Australian musician, singer for the soft rock band.
I was going to say Sherbert, but it's not him, is it? It's, Mental as Anything?
No.
Not Men at Work?
No.
Another Australian soft rock band?
Well, he's an Australian musician, yeah, but a soft rock band. They scored 1980 UK number 11 single, which is the single I want you to say. And in 1981, they scored a US number one with The One That You Love.
Air Supply.
It is.
How did I get there?
I don't know. So come on, what was there? What was there? 1980. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well done. Got there in the end.
Is it there?
It should be.
It is indeed.
I like this one.
My daughter's favourite word at the moment. Indeed.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Not too bad. So, you've had any Scots looking for accommodation for this coming Friday in the St. Cobham area? So.
Not that I'm aware of. But it should be an interesting match, of course. I'm slowly but surely getting into the football.
Yes.
I didn't think I would. It was a very low build-up, it has to be said. But feels like it's starting to gather some momentum, which is nice.
Well, we've had some great goals and some good games, actually, so far. It's just the Christian Eriksen thing has left a sour taste in the mouth, but at least he's on the road to recovery.
Goal again. I didn't see it. Wasn't there a great goal against Scotland yesterday?
It was. I mean, he took it very well.
50 yards out.
Whether it was a great goal or not, I mean, yes, for accuracy, but the Scottish goalkeeper was miles off his line. He shouldn't have been that far off his line.
Yeah.
He took the opportunity. There's been a few of those goals over the years, haven't they, like that?
Yes.
David Beckham
David
did it
Seaman.
Once.
Yeah, David Seaman.
David Seaman.
Naeem from the halfway line, something like that. Mm.
Right, markets up yesterday. Record highs on Wall Street, but investors starting to focus on the Federal Reserve meeting.
Yeah, very much. US stocks closed higher in the final hour of trading yesterday, actually closed another record, while the rally in bond markets lost steam as investors prepare for that Federal Reserve meeting. Information technology communication services sector pushed the S&P 500 to an all-time high. Financials dropped actually yesterday, this after JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon suggested the pandemic era trading boom could be drawing to a close. 10-year Treasury yields rose 1.5% they hit yesterday. That was after falling to a three-month low on Thursday. Oil, as we discussed yesterday, touched the highest level in nearly 2 years. Brent trading at $73 a barrel this morning. European stocks closed at fresh record highs as well. Looks like they're going to add to those gains at the open this morning. Opening calls on the European bourses. FTSE up 18 points. DAX over Frankfurt up 58 points. CAC 40 Paris up 16 points.
Yeah, commodity prices heading south at the moment as that Federal Reserve meeting gets underway tomorrow, but China is trying to calm them down anyway.
Yeah, China's turning to its mammoth and secretive state reserves as the world's top commodities consumer accelerates its campaign to rein in surging raw material costs. The country is planning to expand pork inventories to strengthen control over the market, while authorities have urged quicker construction of coal reserves infrastructure and are mulling a price cap as energy costs soar. The latest push centres on base metals, with China set to offer copper, aluminium, zinc directly to end users to curb a rally. Commodities have stormed to the highest level in a decade, with everything from copper to coal hitting records last month as demand outstrips supply as the global economy recovery gathers pace. That's fanning concerns that manufacturers will eventually need to pass higher costs on to consumers, which of course will hurt the economy. Authorities have already targeted the country's futures market, singling out hoarders and speculators and pressuring some firms to pare back on bullish bets.
of a conundrum for investors, isn't it? Coal in particular on commodities, because, you know, the more coal we dig out of the ground and burn, the worse the climate's going to get.
Yeah, there's a balancing act, isn't there, in relation to particularly the use of fuels. But on one side, you want the recovery to be strong, and inevitably that requires energy. And we're in this transitional phase moments as we move from fossil fuels to cleaner energy, and that process will be accelerated by the investments announced by the range of fiscal policies in Europe and in the United States, amongst others, of course. So that process is taking place, but it's not a time that we can be overly sensitive on those types of issues at the moment. We're
gonna
need to make sure the recovery is strong.
Gonna have to get overly sensitive sometime very, very soon, or we're gonna run out of time, according to experts.
Could well be the case.
But you don't care.
No, it's not that I don't care. That's the ongoing demand. And we still believe that the investment that's going into new technology will provide the solution.
Let's hope so. But generally, I mean, despite the efforts of China, it looks like commodity prices are going to rise as the recovery continues. So probably a good idea to have commodities in your portfolio.
There's certainly need for diversification with that. Primarily, we focused on gold from an investment perspective for that diversification call. Gold is obviously driven by a range of factors. Supply and demand is obviously a fundamental of that. And though, if you look at demand, it comes from probably a broader range than you find for base metals, for example, because you've got investors in there, you've got jewellery demand in there, amongst other factors. You've got central banks who buy gold for their reserves. So there's other factors that determine the price of gold, but we certainly think that's an important area to have within a portfolio from a diversification perspective.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Got the pound against dollar coming in at 1.41 this morning, euro dollar coming in at 1.21. You can have €1.16.5 for your British pound this morning.
Going to be taking a look at France against Germany later.
That's a difficult one. Which way do you go with that? Come on, Germany.
Really? Well, you won't be very popular around here.
Only joking, am I?
I think it'll be a draw myself.
Who are you going for?
Draw.
Draw,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. What other game? What's the other game today?
Hungary against Portugal.
Okay. Come on, Hungary.
Portugal all day long for that.
Come on, Hungary.
You know how to pick them. Talk to you tomorrow, thanks.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
The vaccination against COVID is open from today for 12 to 17-year-olds and is on a voluntary basis with the consent of both parents and the minor concerned. Appointments can be made via the usual online booking platforms as for an adult. The vaccination of adolescents must be done in a vaccination centre and not in pharmacies, as it is now possible for adults. Meanwhile, figures published have shown that the uptake for vaccination in France has dropped sharply, with some centres remaining desperately empty. In mid-June, 45.5% of French people received at least a dose of the vaccine, a figure insufficient to achieve collective immunity. And France will enter the Euro 2020 competition tonight against Germany. With the 11 p.m. curfew in place, France's Minister of the Interior has asked prefects to show particular leniency with regard to people returning home after the match. In other news, at least five beaches in southern Corsica have been affected by an oil slick. The beaches have been closed to the public with a ban on swimming in place. The marine oil pollution was spotted on Friday. An investigation has been opened and handed over to the marine gendarmerie to find out more about the circumstances of the pollution. The prefect of the Alpes-Maritimes has reminded British nationals and their families settled in France before January the 1st, 2021, that they have until July the 1st of this year to complete their formalities to obtain a withdrawal agreement residence permit. Details can be found on the French Interior Ministry's website, and for those details you can go to rivieradio.mc under this morning's news section. Nearly 21,000 high school students from the VAR and the Alpes-Maritimes will be preparing to sit their philosophy baccalaureate this Thursday with the oral on June the 21st. For this first edition of the Bac Blanquer, disrupted by the health crisis, the continuous assessment will represent at least 82% of the final mark of the exam, the written philosophy test and that of the oral corresponding to the remaining 18%. The speciality tests, which were to be held for the first time in March, have been cancelled in favour of continuous assessment. A kite surf instructor from Cannes in the Outmarrow team has set up training to carry out rescue operations. Kite surfing is a popular but dangerous sport, with rescue operations regularly taking place. These interventions require a good knowledge of the equipment and, in particular, the inflatable sail. To help surfers in distress, swimmers from the National Society for Rescue at Sea from Cannes Golf Juan and the Outmarrow team are being trained by a kite surf instructor. Last year, the SNSM of Cannes and Golf Juan rescued six kite surfers in distress. As temperatures rise across France, doctors have called for extra care to be taken when exposing yourself to the sun. Recent figures have shown that with more than 1,300 new cases of skin cancer each year, Brittany is the region the worst affected, with three times more cases than the rest of France. And finally, a Bureautech has opened in the media library in Valbonne in the Outmarrow team, making it possible to exchange plants in the middle of books. Each visitor can drop off their plant cuttings and leave with another. The objective is to bring a little greenery amongst the bookshelves and create an exchange amongst all ages of the public.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
Scotland got their campaign off to a disappointing start on Monday as they lost 2-0 at Hampden Park to the Czech Republic. Scotland had a hatful of chances and 19 attempts on goal during the match, but couldn't convert, piling the pressure on ahead of their next game against England at Wembley on Friday. You think they'll have their tails up for that, do you?
Yeah, they certainly will, yeah.
In the two Group E games on Monday, Slovakia beat Poland 2-1 and Spain and Sweden drew 0-0. Spain had 82% possession that game, but couldn't find the back of the net. Two games today, and I see football fever is just about to hit France. I saw quite a few cars yesterday with French flags trailing out to the back. The tournament favourites France play Germany in Group F at 9 p.m, while Hungary play Portugal at 6 p.m. I put France-Germany down as a 2-2 draw tonight.
France, yeah, they're saying that they're in one of the most dangerous groups on French radio this morning.
Yes, well, Portugal's in it as well. I mean, Hungary, I don't think they'll get much of a look in, but 2 hours of France, Germany and Portugal will qualify.
So what's your prediction?
I said 2-2 between France and Germany tonight. I know some people have gone a bit bolder and put France down for a win, but never write the Germans off, ever, as England fans will know. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The Leicester City and Denmark goalkeeper Kasper Schmeichel says the decision to resume the game between Denmark and Finland at Euro 2020 should not have been made so soon after Christian Eriksen's collapse. The former Spurs player suffered a cardiac arrest and the game was halted but completed later that evening when it was learned that Eriksen was in a stable condition in hospital. The players were given the choice of completing the match that evening or the following morning. In a statement, UEFA said they treated the matter with utmost respect for the sensitive situation and for the players. But Schmeichel says the decision to continue the game should not have been made so quickly.
The game was played, but I think the question is, obviously, I think a decision about the game should probably not have been made in the heat of the moment. I think it would probably have been a wise decision to maybe change the rules or the regulations in extraordinary circumstances and maybe take a breath and then reconvene the day after and make a decision on how we go forward.
There was disappointment for the Liverpool captain Andy Robertson. His Scotland side, who were playing in a major finals for the first time in 23 years, lost their opening match at Hampden Park 2-0 to the Czech Republic.
I think everyone, the whole country, wanted to get off to a good start. We were confident, excited, everything going into the game, and I think it comes down to not taking our chances. I think when you look back on the game, you can't say we've not created. We've had really good chances that on another day we should have done better with, and if you do better on that, then it's a different game. But I think it's, for our first game in a very long time, it's a tough lesson for us that at the highest level and the best tournaments in the world, you have to take your chances when they come to us. Czech Republic done that, we didn't, and unfortunately that's why we're on the wrong end of the result.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Tennis capacity crowds will be allowed at the Wimbledon men's and women's finals, with ground capacity starting at 50% of the tournament. Capacity will rise throughout the 2 weeks at SW19 before the two finals on the 15,000 capacity centre course. And in cycling, Chris Froome will not lead his Israel startup nation team at this month's Tour de France. The team has announced that Michael Woods of Canada will instead try to win the Grand Tour event. It's not yet clear whether Froome will be part of the eight-man squad for the race, which starts on June the 26th. He's been trying to regain form since suffering multiple fractures in a crash at the Critérium du Dauphiné in 2019.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Anne Maritime and the Var, the general situation is weak high pressure, 1,016 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are easterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Southeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Mainly finding coastal areas, some showers developing inland again later, light to moderate southeasterly winds, highs of 25 to 28 degrees on the coast, 30 to 31 degrees inland in the Var, overnight lows 21 or 22 degrees with clear skies Wednesday and Thursday, partially cloudy in coastal areas, some showers again inland, highs of 26 to 28 degrees on the coast and 30 to 32 degrees inland.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Summer just arrived with a bang, really, didn't it? Just
it was like, very warm last night, and it was so noisy. You certainly know that everybody's out and about, don't you?
Didn't hear a thing, had the windows closed.
Yes, we know that you live a life of luxury and I'm living the dream on the port, not... How far back can you remember? Yesterday, maybe?
Well, I can't remember 5 minutes ago, but I can. My long-term memory is pretty
really?
Good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, scientists have claimed that our earliest childhood memories begin from the age of 2.5. And I think my family can remember when I was 2.5, but thank goodness I can't. I think I hear that I brought Harrods to a standstill. I was carried out by the security guards for trying to push my buggy up the escalator.
Well, the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I bundled into my godmother's mini at the time.
I got my head stuck through the railings.
You didn't. There was always one.
At the fire display.
You didn't. Yeah. And the fire display. Yeah. A good place to do it, though.
Luckily, the firemen were there to remove me. Yes.
Yeah, I think there was that. Or walking,
I didn't do that again.
Or walking alongside the car as we drove down to France. You know, I'd get out, we'd have a picnic, and then I'd refuse to get back in the car. And so
you hadn't changed, had you?
Just nobody takes any notice anymore. Anyway, for others, from learning to swim to visiting a huge toy shop, many of us have very distinctive early memories. And now a new study has revealed that our earliest childhood memories begin from the age of 2.5. Researchers have reviewed decades worth of data to understand the earliest age at which lasting memories form. While previous studies had concluded that the average age of a person's earliest memory is 3.5, the new research suggests that many of us can recall events from a year earlier.
I don't remember England winning the World Cup in 66 when I was 2.5.
Well, no, you wouldn't remember that.
If our earliest memories are...
I think mine must be five or six, the goldfish on my peg at school.
I do remember the 1970 World Cup quite clearly, though. When
do
I was,
you?
Yeah, I was
well,
six.
You were older. You were already nearly a grown man.
I think it's the first time we watched football in colour.
Was it really?
1970.